Good afternoon. This is Mike Crenshaw, and it is once again time for News from the Boo, our weekly news segment brought to you by station co-managers Delphi and Crescenzo and myself. We air every Wednesday on 90.7 FM KBOO.Portland, KBOO Community Radio, from 5:45 to 6 p.m. That's right, Wednesday afternoons. And we'd like to talk to you about things happening in the KBOO community of or related to the KBOO community. Today I have two special guests. I have Jonathan and Olivia from Woodlawn Mike. I just recently met them, and they've got an incredible program running in Northeast Portland, and I invited them down to talk about it. So let's start with you, Olivia. Tell us about who you are, where you're from, and what Woodlawn Mike is.
Yeah, my name is Olivia. I'm originally from Seattle and just moved to Portland about 3 months ago because my partner is teaching at Kairos PDX. That could be a whole nother radio segment, but we'll stick to the point here. The Woodlawn Mike is running out of the former United Methodist Church building on 1425 in Deakum, and that church officially closed not too long ago. And the United Methodist Church as an institution knows that churches with pews are no longer relevant really to the 21st century and millennials and folks who are interested in spirituality. So we're creating a community hub that's going to host arts, events, entrepreneurship, healing, really a diversity of things that is centered around people of color, because we know that the Woodlawn community was a historically Black community. And so we want to carve out space for people of color to have in Woodlawn.
So that's, again, you said 1425?
Yep.
Northeast Deakum?
Yes, sir.
Okay, right off of 15th and Deakum in Northeast Portland. And Jonathan, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with Woodlawn Mike.
Great. Well, I just recently moved here from Durham, North Carolina. I grew up outside of Miami, originally from the foothills in Virginia. Spent a lot of time in the South. I am a United Methodist pastor. And I came out here, was brought out here for this job, which was to revitalize, or I guess you could say reinvent, the church that was closed down, the property we were speaking of. So it was to be a multicultural initiative that part of it was a faith community, but part of the mission that they wanted us to do, to focus on, was really to be a blessing to the neighbors around us. And as we mentioned, Woodlawn was a predominantly people of color neighborhood as little as 10 years ago, and that's not the case anymore. So we wanted to figure out how us as a community can really celebrate that, celebrate the history, and how we can be part of the reversal of that trend.
So I'm going to ask you guys a question you probably heard. I imagine it might be difficult question to answer. Maybe the first time someone asked it to you, maybe not, because you're both really clear on what your mission is. But if neither of you are actually from Portland historically or from that community that Woodlawn Mike intends to serve, how do you justify your being there? What do you say to people who might suggest that you are gentrifiers yourselves?
Mm-hmm. I like to answer that question with I'm here as a convener. Obviously, my role is to convene people who have been here for a long time, who have been a part of the community, and bring them to the table to use the resources that are available. So a lot of my job right now is meeting local POC in the community, asking them, yo, envision this space with me. Come and take up space in our building and help me to build what this community needs. So I see myself very much as a convener, conspiring. And I think that's one of John's terms that I just stole, but I'll let him say more.
Well, I actually stole that term from Joanne Hardesty. Co-conspirator is just such a great term. Convener is such a great way of looking at it. The United Methodist Church has been here. The community has been here. I have not. But they've already been, the United Methodist Church that has this property has already been working on the ground. They just need someone that has had the theological training that the church requires to come in and be the convener, and someone that's excited about this project. And that's where I came in. So the next part is partnering up with people who have been here on the ground. And so we are convening a team. We've already got one person who has been in the neighborhood throughout the 90s and early 2000s. Sarah, she's a wonderful part of our team, and she's got that neighborhood connection. And we've got another teammate, Leroy, who he's been in town for about 4 years, but he has been doing this kind of work. He's a person of color that's been working in this reverse gentrification work for many years.
Okay. Well, I'm familiar with the community, and I've actually done a lot of work previously with We Are Oregon to help black families hold on to houses that were being foreclosed and black families that were being displaced by development and, you know, price hikes and things of that nature. Try to support them in staying in the community. So I'm really excited about the work that you guys are doing. I'm also excited about the fact that, Olivia, you are connected to other organizations that do work in the diaspora, specifically serving black youth and around issues of consciousness raising. And you mentioned a trip you took to Cuba with an organization out of Baltimore in which hip-hop was really a useful tool, mm-hmm. as far as engaging people.
Yeah.
Are you all at Woodlawn Mike going to be using hip-hop, spoken word, poetry, art, and culture to engage the people you serve?
Absolutely. For example, this Saturday we have an event called Open Mic, which is kind of a play on the term, right, because the space is called the Woodlawn Mic, where we're bringing in poets and artists. We're going to have Poetic Justice affiliates there. We're going to have a woman by the name of Taja, who I met just hanging out in POC Spaces, who's a drummer and a spoken word artist. I think I'm missing one other person. And Karen Ward with Abby Arts, who's helping us to cultivate and curate this event. So I think hip hop is going to help us to really cultivate community in a way that is relevant to the POC community. And I'm excited to be a part and to listen to what folks from the community have to say.
That's awesome. I saw the building, the old church. I've been at events in that church over the years in the past. It's a wonderful space. You've got, is it Albina Head Start in the basement?
Yeah, Albina, who's been there for 40 plus years, I think.
That's amazing. Coming out of the Black Power movement. That's really where Head Start came from. So I'm glad to see they're still in the building. Now, you guys have the upstairs, the place where people would congregate for the church congregation. It's a beautiful room. And you're getting rid of the pews. Are you going to have regular cultural events in the space?
Yeah. John, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, that's the idea. We want it to be a multi-use space that's not just used once a week as a church sanctuary. We are envisioning different ideas of what this could look like, but we're thinking of kind of a cafe setting where it could just be hangout space, possibly. This is still in the works, but hangout space when there's not an event going on. When there is an event, it'll be a comfortable atmosphere to watch or participate in whatever the events may be. It could be dance, it could be spoken word, live music, mm-hmm. lectures, you know, sky's the limit, really.
So we live in a very interesting time. It doesn't take a lot of work to turn on the news and be aware of the ecological crisis, the climate crisis, racism, police brutality, terror against people who don't identify in the gender binary. There's just so much going on. Political activism, it's not a stretch for a lot of KBOO listeners to understand we have a responsibility to be engaged in our community. What I think is potentially challenging for a lot of people to understand is where do religion and spirituality where do those things engage the struggle for human rights and justice? And I'm asking you both this because, Olivia, you spoke to spirituality and not religion being an important force, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, John, you have a background in the church, so could each of you speak to that?
Absolutely. The theology that informs both me and the United Methodist Church in general is that we have a responsibility to be good stewards of all of creation around us, which means people, which means the climate, which means physical space, the earth. It's part of who we understand God to be and our role in connection to that, that it is our duty, it is our responsibility, and it's also our joy to be a part of the solution to these problems. That is a theological issue.
Right on.
Yeah, I grew up in the church. My father is a pastor in Aurora, Illinois, which is a suburb outside of Chicago, and he's been preaching since he was 9, so the Black church is in my DNA, whether or not I like it or not. And I have tried to separate myself from the church because I saw it was so problematic. And then I ran into this thing called liberation theology, which uses the Jesus story and Jesus the person as an example of a radical force that is against systematic oppression. The story of Jesus in the Bible is one who is opposing the Roman Empire, and which was the ruler in that time. And so when I see and use the Bible as a tool for liberation, then it becomes really relevant to my life. And then I say, oh, I can use religion and I can use spirituality and I can use the tools of the Christian text to provide liberation for myself. And it's interesting, you know, you can dive into questions of how that relates to the African diaspora and what that means for healing and how we need to reinterpret and continue to interpret the Bible to make it relevant to queerness, to Blackness, unapologetically. And that is something I'm very passionate about.
And that key word, unapologetically, is something that I'm interested in, because a lot of my people really struggle mm-hmm. with the concept of a white Jesus and really struggle with the way that Christianity specifically has historically been utilized to justify mm-hmm. genocide and colonialism and imperialism and so on and so forth. So what do you, can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Many times folks have said, like, if Christianity has done this many things, what is the point of saving it? Like, if we have to work so hard to save Christianity, what is the point? And I think everyone has to come to that answer to them for themselves. And I don't even know if I've arrived at that answer for myself. But every time I step into this unconditional grace that I see is the agape, that is God, or I've often been using God as just the name of the spirit of liberation.
Okay.
I find that I am forgiven. I find that I am good. I find that I am divine. And all those things resonate and feel good to me. And if that doesn't resonate with you, that's fine, right? Like, we don't come, I don't think that we come to church necessarily to hold on to this idea of this one God that looks this one way. Someone once told me that every description that we use to describe God is wrong. God is so big that everything, like, if we say God is like this, no, God is even bigger than that. And so that's been really comforting for me to know that that God is bigger than what my human mind can even conceptualize. And that's provided a lot of healing for me in my faith journey.
Thank you for that. We love to talk about deep, real stuff here on KBOO Community Radio, because this is stuff that we don't get to talk about and we don't get to hear on a lot of the commercial airways. So I really appreciate both of you coming down and making time to talk with me on News from the Boo about Woodlawn, Mike. Again, that's 1425 Northeast Deakum. What time is the event on Saturday?
It's from 6 p.m. to about 9 p.m.
And before we leave, for the KBOO listeners, I want to know if people want to get involved, if people want to support the work that you're doing, would it be, is there a way for them to get in touch with you?
Right now, the best way is we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/WoodlawnMike, M-I-C. You can message us through there. We are working on a website, but we do not have it yet. We also have, was it info@woodlawnmike.org?
Yes.
info@woodlawnmike.org.
Okay. And I want to encourage you guys to continue to be part of the KBOO community. And thank you for listening to all of you out there listening to News from the Boo. Again, Olivia and John from Woodlawn Mike. You guys, thanks for coming down. Have a good night.
Thanks for having
Thank you.
Us.
K KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Women Helping Women Project on Saturday, October 21st at 6 p.m. at the IBEW Local 48 in Portland. The Women Helping Women Project is a fall celebration that features a salmon dinner, art sale of original art, silent auction, entertainment, and Native American drumming. Proceeds from this event will help the Red Lodge Transition Center for Women in Clackamas County purchase a heat pump and complete other weatherization projects. Again, that's the Women Helping Women Project on Saturday, October 21st at 6 p.m. at the IBEW Local 48, 15937 Northeast Airport Way in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Journalist, author, and activist David Barsamian will be speaking about the broad coalition in opposition to the Trump administration, which includes activists from a range of causes, progressive Democrats, and concerned Republicans. He'll be reflecting on the core issues at stake today and why so many people from such a range of identities and perspectives are challenging the administration. Again, that's KBOO Presents David Barsamian, Resistance in the Age of Trump, on Sunday, November 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. 2522 Southeast Clinch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 6 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is What's Life Without Laughter?